Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
You know you're a dad when you have a toolbox full of tools. We've got tape measures. We've got I actually learned in the first service, this is an American screwdriver, right? I was at Bacchus Marsh a couple of weeks ago screwing down deck boards, and I was having about a 50% success rate with the screws going all the way in. So the screws that weren't going all the way in, though, needed a little encouragement to not be sticking up. So I just looked for the hammer, right, and banged the screw on in. But in a dad's toolbox, all the things that are there, there's only one that really matters, maybe two, all right? We've got duct tape or gaffer tape. You know what that's for? If something is moving and it's not supposed to move, just fix it. This fixes it, right? If something isn't moving that is supposed to move, you use WD-40, right? Those are the only tools you need. I showed up this morning, and you'll experience at the end of the service, there's a photo wall out there for superhero dads to get photos made. That photo wall was on the floor this morning when I walked in. So we got out the gaffer tape, right? There we go. Anyway, good fun. The other thing about Father's Day, you can be guaranteed to receive some useless socks or not very good barbecue tools, right? Dads, no? Is that just me? Step it up, kids. Nobody else has experienced it. Anyway, you know what's really wonderful, though? Nobody remembers the socks. Nobody remembers the jokes. Nobody's going to remember the broken duct tape fixes. What they're going to remember is the kind of dad, the kind of person you were, the way you lived, the way you loved, the values that you stood for. And even as I'm describing that right now, for some of you, I understand that today is painful. I actually know people who aren't here today because it's just too painful. Maybe your memories of your father are not pleasant ones. Maybe your father has passed, and that's just a really difficult day for you now. Maybe you are someone who actually wants to be a father desperately and has been trying for that, and it's just not happened yet. Whatever your case, we know that today can be a difficult day, and our prayers are with you, and our hearts go out to you. But on Father's Day, we do want to take some time and reflect and be reminded that we leave our fingerprints on other people. Someone, somewhere is watching everything that you do. When my kids were growing up, my kids are to the age now where I actually can see the result of the investment that Deanna made in them. And I can see how they cope with life. I can see the tools that they have chosen to use that makes me, when they do them, think, oh my goodness, where did they get that from, right? And then I look in the mirror. And, you know, they mimic the things that we have invested in them. Even the things they said they would never do, they now do, both good and bad. We put our fingerprints on people. Our friends look at our values by the way that we live our lives, and they evaluate us based on that. Your family's faith journey many times depends on how you have led that. Many dads in particular have led families to faith, or there are some people who want nothing to do with faith because of the memories of their fathers. All of these things that people remember us by are the result of daily decisions. They're not something that just happened at the end of our life. It's daily decisions that we've made. And, you know, the good news, because all this could get really heavy really quick, but the good news is you and I, praise God, don't have to be perfect to leave a lasting impact. We just have to be intentional. Today, we're not just celebrating dads. We're going to talk about something that is important to each and every one of us, because we all want this. We all want to live a life that matters. Now, I want to give you a caveat here, because I would suggest to you that your life matters whether you believe it or not. But we all want to feel like our life has made a difference, like it's been worth something, like it actually mattered. There's an Old Testament guy who lived a life that matters. His name is Abraham, and he's next up in our series, Make a Move. Last week, we looked at a guy called Nehemiah, and we saw that he was wrecked by the walls of Jerusalem being broken down, and it moved him into action to do something about it. He didn't just say, someone should do something about this. He said, I'll be the one to go do something about this. And we took a challenge from his page about the things that wreck us. If you miss that message or you miss any others during the series, certainly go to our website, go to our YouTube channel or the app, like it, share it, listen to it until it actually affects your life, that kind of thing. Today, we're up to Abraham. Abraham was a person who left a legacy. And did you know, everyone leaves a legacy. Some good, some, not so good. Some really bad. Abraham shows us that the greatest legacy that we can leave is not a great inheritance, not wealth, not land, not even our achievements, but faith and trust in God. That's what Abraham left. The move he made to trust God changed the world. We pick up his story in Genesis chapter 12. The Lord said to Abram, and by the way, this Abram is the Abraham I'm talking about. His name got changed later. He said, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. All right, so this guy called Abraham, what do we know about him? First of all, he was 75 years old, it tells us right there. And his ancestors were idol worshipers. They were pagans. He came from a city called Ur, and that city was famous for worshiping Nanar, the moon god. That's the setting that Abraham was found in, that he grew up in. He did not know God at all. He was not familiar with the true and living God. He had done nothing to earn this moment where God said, go, where God called him out of all that and made all these promises to him. That was simply God's grace. It would have been a dramatic change for Abram, calling him to leave behind the idolatry and to follow God. The timing of this was after humanity had decided to kick God to the curb. Romans chapter 1 talks about this, where men had become as bad as they could be. Mankind had become as bad as it could be. And God said, okay, fine. Into that space, he called Abraham to start a new redemptive plan that has affected all of us here today. And you know, he called him to make a move that would bless others, but Abraham was not the obvious choice. I think you probably would have picked that up already. But what it shows us is something that Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians, where he tells us that God delights in using the unexpected to accomplish his will and his plan. So God said, go. And Abraham simply went. That's all we see there. There was no map, no GPS. There was no guarantee. There was no, this is what the end looks like. He just had to trust who God was. For you and I today, we need to learn from Abraham that we need to step out sometimes. We need to have faith that actually moves. Not faith that just believes, but faith that actually moves. Abraham had a comfortable life in Ur of the Chaldees, and he was giving up a lot. God said, leave your family, leave your land, leave your inheritance, leave everything. Family was important because descendants were supposed to take care of their parents when they got old, and they're supposed to have kids to keep extending the family line. All of his security, everything that he could look forward to was tied up in the inheritance and the land and all that. It's interesting that what God promises him is to replace all of that and more. There's a direct correlation there. But Abraham didn't know this God. So it was a major risk. So Abraham teaches us that if we want to leave a legacy, we need to have a life that takes risk. He's putting his survival, his identity, his future, all in the hands of a God that he doesn't know. You know what that tells us? It tells us that inside of Abraham and inside of you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you online, inside of me, God has put this innate understanding that he is real, that he is there. And even a hunger and a desire to know that God. That's what Abraham's responding to. A drawing that he could not even quantify or identify completely. But deep inside of him, he knew it was true. That's the miraculous calling of God. You know, trusting God sometimes means stepping into the unknown. Leaving a legacy doesn't start when our life is over. It starts with obedience every single day. So the question, what is God asking you to step into? Maybe he's asking you to be a parent. And you've thought about it, and you've thought, wow, the economy and everything, the money and kids, and wow, kids, ooh, yuck. And you thought, do I want to bring kids into this world? What if God said, yes, I want you to? He puts it on your heart to do that. Then you need to be obedient. What if he's calling you into serving, stepping up in serving, or stepping up in your generosity, or maybe it's stepping up in forgiving someone for something in your life? Maybe he's calling you to step into some kind of leadership role in the church or someone else or somewhere else. See, faith first moves. Then the clarity comes, one step at a time. Sometimes the thing that God is calling us into are the greatest things for us, but we can't see it on the front end. When we start a family, or we move to a new city, or we take a career change that was abrupt and didn't make any sense, following God into that space. There's a guy called Elon Musk. He's not controversial, is he? But whether you love him or you hate him, when he started SpaceX, everybody thought he was a complete idiot. And you may still think that. That's okay. Rockets started blowing up. Money started just flying out the window. And there was failure after failure after failure. People laughed at the idea that a private company could compete with NASA. But today, SpaceX puts satellites into the orbit of the Earth so that we have some of the many things that we enjoy today technologically. SpaceX sends astronauts, human astronauts, to the International Space Station because Elon Musk kept trying. He stepped up when everybody else was sitting still. See, the thing about stepping out, breakthroughs, whether they be in science or business or families, relationships, or just in life in general, come because someone's willing to take a risk. Someone's willing to move when everyone else is sitting. Playing it safe rarely creates legacy. It's when we take action, when we make a move. And see, a beautiful thing I love about our community is we can see that every parent, every dad, every mom, every person wants the people that love them and that they care for to have a better life than the one they have. And like I said, our community reflects this because many of you here in the room, many of you online, you came to this country and you would say, so my children would have better opportunities. So my children would have a better life, right? When you did that, you know what you didn't know? You had no idea what was going to happen when you got here. But you took the step because you believed that it would be worth it. You believed that taking that step would actually be a good thing. And, you know, sometimes we don't need to know what the end game looks like to take that first step. We just need to make a move. Later on in Abraham's journey, something interesting happens here. Happens here. Are we stuck? All right, there we go. Sarai, okay, this is Abraham's wife, said to Abram, go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her. And Abram agreed with Sarai's proposal. Wow. Not good advice. All right? This isn't go and do likewise kind of sermon here, okay? A little history is Abraham was promised offspring. God's going to make him a great nation. And at this point, Abraham's getting pretty old, and his wife's getting old. And she's like, dude, it ain't happening. I'm barren. Maybe go sleep with Hagar, my handmaid, and maybe that's how God will fulfill his promise. Now, in pagan culture, that would have been fine back then, okay? But it says Abraham agreed with her proposal. Abraham went through his life, and he had several moments of fear, of failure, of frustration. In Genesis 13, we see him and Lot had been traveling together. I mentioned this a few weeks ago. And they came to a land, and there was too many of them. There was too many servants. There was too many animals. And Abraham and Lot had to separate. And Abraham said, Lot, I'm frustrated by this. You're frustrated. Let's move. Let's separate. So he had some frustrations. In Genesis chapter 12, after God called him, he starts out heading the direction God had told him, and he ran into this city that had a king, and as they're coming into the city, he tells Sarah, he says, hey, you know you're hot, and when we get here, this king is going to see that you're hot, and he's going to want you for his own, right? And to get that, he's going to probably kill me. So why don't we do this, Sarah? Let's just say you're my sister. And by the way, that was half right. It's complicated. We don't have time to get into it. But Abraham was afraid to do the right thing, put his wife and himself in a really difficult situation, and it all worked out in the end because the king figured it out. But anyway, Genesis 16, this instance, Abraham became impatient and didn't wait for God. And it didn't end up well. What we learn here, though, is from Abraham, is that in spite of the mishaps here, in spite of his fears and frustrations and failures, he stuck with it. We need to stick with it. It's faith that messes up but still sticks with it. For some of you right now, you're thinking about stuff that has happened in your life, and you're thinking, I messed up so bad, I can never come back from that. Abraham came back from his failures. His story wasn't about perfection, but about trust in God. His story wasn't defined by the mistakes. It was defined by his perseverance. His mistakes didn't disqualify him. His mistakes didn't cancel the mission that he was on. One of the beautiful things we learned from Abraham here is that we can live a life that isn't perfect and still leave a positive legacy. Too often, we give up. We think because we've messed up, then nothing good can happen in our lives, and it's useless. Our life only matters to be a bad example for the rest of the world. That's not the way God sees you. If you messed up, you got some failures in your past, could you pave the streets of Wyndham with those? God says, let's keep moving. Stick with it in spite of your failures. You know, a guy called Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player of all time. Can I get an amen? Okay, just checking. He is. He's the GOAT. Somebody, when I said that in the first service, nobody said anything. Somebody came up afterwards and had a long talk with me and gave me another name. You were quiet when I said. Anyway, Michael Jordan was cut from the high school varsity basketball team when he was a sophomore. He wasn't good enough. Michael Jordan missed over 9,000 shots in his career and lost over 300 games. How is he the GOAT? Because he is. Because he stuck with it. In spite of failures, in spite of messing up at times, he kept going. And he is arguably one of the greatest athletes that has ever lived. Everyone messes up. But the people who succeed are the ones that get up, the ones that keep going, the ones that keep showing up. Legacy is not built on perfection. It's built on persistence. And dads, I'm talking to you right now, showing up is big because not showing up is terrible. And some of you know that. Some of you have felt that. Some of you live with that pain already. If that's been your history, guess what? You can flip it right now. You can start showing up now. Legacies aren't built by pretending you're perfect. They're built by being honest, by being humble, by being willing to grow. Kids, families, and friends don't need flawless. They need faithful. Another thing we can learn from Abraham as he journeyed on through life, says by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. Abraham reasoned that God would raise the dead. Remember that story where Sarah said, hey, sleep with my handmaid and my servant. Eventually, Sarah did have a baby. His name was Isaac. Isaac was the heir. Isaac was the one who God had promised, and he was going to build a great nation. And then one day, God comes to Abraham and says, hey, I want you to take Isaac, your only son, Isaac, and I want you to take him up on the mountain. I want you to make an altar there. I want you to lay him on the altar, and I want you to sacrifice him to me. Do you see a problem with this? I see a big problem with it. And it's when you read the story, Abraham started the journey. He took the fire, he took his son, he got up there, and he made the altar. And the end of the story, you got to know the end, is that he was about to sacrifice his son when an angel of the Lord came to him and said, stop! I was just testing you. And he passed the test because he was willing to sacrifice what was the most precious to him. Abraham was willing to surrender and sacrifice. Faith that matures. His faith had grown. And when he was willing to do this, it showed his deep faith and trust in God. Because he still believed that Isaac was the one that was that a great nation was going to come from. So his obvious conclusion, because he thought it through, was that, okay, God will raise him from the dead. That can happen. He trusted God. Leaving a legacy requires a life that stands strong. That's our takeaway from Abraham. When we trust God enough to surrender those things that are the most precious to us, what do you need to place on the altar? Maybe it is your kids. Now, don't take me out of context and say, I want you to go sacrifice your kids like God told Abraham to. That's not at all what I'm saying. But I've talked to many people who would suggest that God has been leading me this direction, but I've got to do what's best for the kids. So I can't do that thing that God has asked me to do. We landed in Australia in 2001 after sensing God's call to come here. And there were plenty of people in our rearview mirror that were saying, is that the best for the kids? Don't you know all those snakes in Australia? Yeah. That, and there's kangaroos in the backyards. And anyway, people questioned it and challenged it and challenged our commitment to come here because they perceived it to not be able to necessarily be the best for my kids. I got two of my kids sitting right here with their spouses, and I got grandkids here. Do you think God knew what he was doing? I think so. And I got more kids than that too. Anyway, when we follow God, when we say yes to what God calls us to do, it works out. And we don't need to use our kids or our future or our plans as an excuse for not doing what God wants us to do. I was meeting with the director of ministries for the Baptist Union this week, and he was talking about rural areas, rural churches that can't get pastors. And hey, how can we raise up pastors to send to the rural churches? And the whole time he was talking about this, because they don't want to go. They don't want to leave the city. They don't want to do what's not best for their kids and all. The whole time I kept thinking, but if God is saying do it, then why is there a discussion? When God calls you to do something, to step into something, to make a move, that is the final answer. Strong life isn't built overnight. It's built step by step, test by test. Legacy means sacrificing now for the best later. Dads do this all the time. Dads work hard. Dads give up comfort. Dads sacrifice for their children. And we should thank them. We should celebrate them for that. But can I flip that lens a little bit and just challenge you dads to consider, because I've been here. When you say you're working 80 hours a week and you're doing this and you're doing that and you're doing for your kids, but it means you're not showing up for your kids or your spouse, ask yourself, am I really doing it for that? Or am I doing it to advance my own career, my own agenda, because it makes me feel better and I feel better at work than I do at home sometimes? If that's you, that's a mess up. But you know what you can do? You can get up, you can build on that, and you can change that. Anyone building a legacy sacrifices in the short so that they can thrive in the long term. All the families on earth will be blessed through you, God said to Abraham. His obedience shaped history. It was miraculous. Abraham's move of faith wasn't just about his family. It was about the future of all humanity. Abraham was able to see beyond, and he had a faith that matters. The choices you make today will ripple into the future. We need to realize that our life does make an impact. When we see beyond, when we don't make decisions for what's in front of us right now, we make decisions based on what's beyond in the longer term, eternity, then we're going to make better decisions. We will live a life that matters, a life that makes an impact. So what do we do with all this? Do you want to leave a legacy? When we say legacy, I'm talking about positive. Do you want to do that? Well, Abraham's example was this. He stepped out. He took some risk. He stuck with it. He didn't quit when life got messy. He surrendered, sacrificed, trusted God with what mattered the most to him, and he saw beyond. He lived for the impact that he wanted to see that would outlast him, and that changed the world. For you and I today, we need to understand that legacy is not built in the moment. The legacy is built on the moves that we make today. So friends, let me encourage you, be willing to take risks. Legacy is seen in that. Legacy is seen and accomplished in learning from your mistakes, It's seeing and making the right sacrifices. And it's seeing and trusting the bigger picture. Every choice matters. Dads, your kids are going to forget the jokes. At least we hope so. They're going to forget the socks. But they're never going to forget what it felt like to have a father who was willing to take risks, who showed up, who trusted in something bigger than themselves, the Almighty God, and lived with purpose. They're never going to forget those things. For everyone else in the room, whether you're raising kids, whether you're mentoring someone, or you're just trying to figure out life, what you do today will have ripples far beyond today and far beyond even your lifetime. Because the legacy you leave isn't just for your family. You'll bless your community, your friends, people that you will never even meet will be blessed because of you. Think about it like planting a tree. If I go plant a tree today, I'm not going to enjoy the shade of it. Someone else will, though. I will be making a move for them so they can enjoy that in the future. Plant something that lasts. Today it's time to make your move. And here's how you do it. Trust God. Step out in faith. And leave a legacy that blesses the world. Lord, we thank you for the story of Abraham. Lord, we thank you that you showed us his failures because, Lord, we can all relate to that. Whether we want to openly admit it or not, our life is full of those. And, Lord, those frustrate us. Those annoy us. We wish they weren't there. But, Lord, by you sharing Abraham's with us, we can take some confidence and hope. The faith that messes up needs to be a faith that sticks with it and that you can build your kingdom on broken people. Thank you so much for that, God. And Lord, I want to pray over all the dads in the room, and not just the dads, but the moms and the aunties and the uncles and the cousins and the friends who need to make a move today, who came in today, Lord, just maybe with even heavy hearts and without hope. Lord, I want to pray that today they've got some hope, that they can take one step, just a small step, in the direction you're calling them, the direction that you have appointed them. And Lord, that you would give them the strength to that, the courage to do that. And then, Lord, the perseverance when they fall over in a month's time to get back up. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for loving us, caring for us, and not giving up on us. And Lord, help us to step out, stick with it, to be willing to sacrifice for what is beyond. In Jesus' name, amen.